In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. First, I will answer a question that I was given by Blaine. And the answer is prostrations, love, and I don't know.
Jesus.
Prostrations, love, and.
For 40 days.
And 40 days. Well, his question was, what is the fear of God? You know, when you really love somebody, you don't want to disappoint them. You know, they believe in you. I don't know. They put you through school, or they said, you know, when you were down and nobody believed in you, they believed in you. So you know what? You want to do good for them, don't you? Because you have gratitude towards them. And so you sort of like have a fear of discipline. Not a fear that they're going to hurt you if you disappoint, but you just don't want to disappoint them. And I think the fear of God is partly that, is that because God loves us and we become more aware of his love, we don't want to be unworthy of him. So we fear being unworthy, right? I think that's a great aspect of the fear of God, but there's another part of it, and that's basically, you can see it in the Transfiguration. They were on the mountain, and Jesus suddenly became transfigured. Transfigure actually means change, and that's really not exactly what happened. It isn't really what happened to Jesus. He just made them aware of what he really looks like, right? He just kind of took off the veil. It's more that he opened the curtain rather than he changed, right? Because that's the way he was always. You don't see the uncreated light unless you're either worthy of it or God makes an exception. And so God made an exception for the three apostles. And they couldn't handle it, could they? Mm-hmm. They were terrified. They were, first of all, it was at night, they were sleepy, so they were kind of, you know how you are when you're sleepy, you're a little kind of just not really functioning in all cylinders, right? And then he's transfigured, or he, like I said, he opened the veil, and they saw how he really was, and there was a light that was literally brighter than the sun and yet didn't burn their eyes, right? I mean, a light brighter than the sun would actually not only burn your eyes, it would actually incinerate you, but that the light was the uncreated light, and they were terrified by it, and they were confused by it. And so the icon shows them falling down the mountain. And of course, they weren't literally falling off the mountain, but that's showing how they were kind of just stupefied by it. And then Peter starts talking out of his head, saying, Lord, we can make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. Because he just wanted to stay there the rest of his life. He just didn't want to go down off Mount Tabor. He wanted to stay there, which was a very unrealistic idea, because this was 40 days before the Lord was going to be crucified. They had the fear of God. They were in the presence of that light that enlightens everything, right? That shines through everything. And they were well aware of what kind of person they were. And it was too much for them to handle. And another example is where Peter is, they're fishing the first time. They have fished all night long. And then the Lord says, let down your nets for a catch. We fished all night. Nonetheless, at your word, I will. And then they start catching so many fish that the nets are breaking. Peter becomes aware, I'm in the presence of God. And he felt unworthy. So what did he say? Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Mm. That's the fear of God. He wasn't afraid God was going to punish him. God was just too much for him. So I think the fear of God has those two aspects. One is an aspect of gratitude and obligation. I think we have an obligation to God. We should feel it in our heart. Not an external obligation. It's not an obligation that someone can give you. A priest can't give it to you, or a bishop, or anybody else can't say you should do these things because you're a Christian. It has to be in your heart that you have these things. And that's part of the fear of God, that you just don't want to disappoint God. Not because he's going to take you out, not because he's an angry God, not because he's a jealous God, but because he loves you more than anything and anybody, and you want to return that love, and you don't want to disappoint him. If you want to say disappoint, really to say we disappoint God is giving him a human emotion that he doesn't have. But still, that's part of the fear of God. You want to do right by him. And then the other part of the fear of God is that the Almighty he's uncreated. We're created. We're finite. We're temporal. And we be in the presence of that which is without beginning, without end, without limitation. To be in that presence is awe-inspiring and a little, I don't know if I would use the word scary, but it is just overwhelming. And we've all been in circumstances where there's something happened to us that just overwhelmed us in terms of it was so beautiful that someone was kind to us in a way that we didn't expect or that we really needed, or something, some surprise happens. Maybe, I don't know, someone's hurt and we think they're gonna die and they recover. Some occurrence that happens in our life and we just absolutely feel just overwhelmed with gratitude, but also it's too much to really completely gestalt, grasp, right? It's really just too much to understand. And God is too much. He's way too much. And yet we're going to be able to have all of him in our heart because we have that deep heart that I've talked about. A man shall draw nigh and the heart is deep and God shall be exalted. That's from the Psalter. So that's, I think, those two main things of the fear of God. One is you don't want to disappoint him. Disappointed quotes, right? You want to do right by him. And so I think that's the fear of God is those two things. And the way you develop the fear of God is you live the Christian life and you go through the ups and downs and the falling down and the getting up and the falling down and the getting up and become more aware of your own humanity, which is broken, your own broken humanity, and that God is bringing you to an unbroken humanity. But you're going along a lot slower than you should be and you have a sense of compunction about it. But not compunction. I hate the Western compunction is God's going to kill you, but no, okay, he doesn't kill you. So that's so terrible. That's so terrible. No wonder they're atheists. You know, I don't think there were atheists 500 years ago, 600 years ago. You know, I just think that conception of God is so bizarre. That's just so bizarre. It's just weird. And God is a loving Father, so no matter what we do, he loves us. Now, I don't notice this with fathers, to be honest with you, but I notice it with mothers. In prison, every mother sticks by her son, every single one, okay? A mother has to be really wacko to not keep contact with her son, okay? Keep writing him, keep visiting him, etc. Fathers are more likely to say, he did a bad thing, I don't want anything to do with him, he's had his chances, blah, blah, blah. There are fathers that stuck by their sons too, plenty of them. But almost always a mother stuck by her son, almost always. And also, I haven't been in women's prisons ever, but I might be soon, I might be. And a lot of prisoners are fathers, but they don't talk much about their children. And when they do, it's oftentimes many of them, they're not very connected at all. It's like they haven't seen their kid for 20 years or 15 years or 10 years. And it's like, it's not really a big deal to them. Women, on the other hand, every woman who's a criminal, who's also a mother, she stays a mother, for sure, okay? She might be a criminal, okay? But she's a mother, and she misses her young one, absolutely, okay? I think that we have to develop a compunction about God, and that will increase our fear of God. And I think that in the proper fear of God, wanting to please him and the just feeling incredible gratitude for him. How many of you have seen The Count of Monte Cristo? It's a good movie, actually. Yeah, it's a great book. Wonderful. It's a great book and a great movie, actually. There's an occurrence, and it happens in both books, I believe, in the book and the movie, where there's a thief, and he's on a pirate ship, and he gets found out for being a thief, and so they go aground, right, and they're going to kill him. Right, and they're gonna have some sport with him first, right? And this guy escapes from this prison, and he swims, and he's obviously comes from this prison. And the pirate thinks it's amusing. He says, "Okay, well, I'll have these two guys fight to the death. Whichever one wins, gets to live." And he didn't know that this guy trained as a swordsman with that priest, with one of my favorite of all time lines just in life. It's great because you have to remember this about people that are far from God. Always remember this. Don't lose hope for anyone. Keep praying for them. Because at one point, the priest is dying, and because the priest dies, gives him a way to escape and everything. But anyway, the priest is dying, and he says, "God go with you, son," And he says, "I don't believe in God anymore." And he says, "It doesn't matter. He believes in you." Okay? So just remember that. God believes in us, okay? And even a person who's an atheist, who's gone into crazy stuff, you pray for them, you don't abandon them. And even after their death, you don't abandon them and you continue to pray for them. But anyway, this thief, they have a fight, right? And so he beats him really quickly. And of course, he can kill him, right? So he takes the knife and slams it next to his neck, and he doesn't kill him. And the pirate thinks that's hilarious, lets them both live. Then the guy says, I owe you my life. And from that time on, he acted as his servant and as his conscience, and sometimes saved him from doing terrible things, which would have, you know, when he was really in a darkness of his rage against someone. And so he was a true friend in gratitude. That is a perfect example of gratitude. It's like, you saved my life, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And he did. Even though they got richer than anybody, that didn't change him. He served his friend because his friend saved his life. And that's a perfect example, I think, of how we should feel towards God. God has saved his life, saved our lives. So I think the fear of God is always remembering that, always having gratitude, always remembering where we came from and where we're going.
This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube they are found at Orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.